morning. Before we begin, we have a couple announcements to make. First, coffee hour after church today, so please join us after worship service. Also, if you look at the back of your chimes, the minister's hours are listed. Today we have a rehearsal for the Last Supper for the choir and the disciples. Monday is women's Bible study. Wednesday is Christian Kids Club and Elders Meeting. Thursday is sanctuary choir practice. And then next Sunday, this time next week, we will have the presentation of the Last Supper. And, of course, the Last Supper rehearsal at 4 with the presentation at 7. Okay.
Right. The rehearsal is at 3:30 next Sunday.
3:30 next Sunday. Got it. Okay, I hit the wrong button there. Okay, 3:30 next Sunday. Okay. And so if you don't have your tickets for the Last Supper, I suggest you get them today because there's not too many left. Yeah. That's it. How many is there? About? Less than 10. Oh, yeah. And those of you that are involved in today's rehearsal, please bring your outfit today. Because they're going to have a dress rehearsal today. Junior and senior youth groups will meet after coffee hour. There will be a work day Tuesday this week from 9 to 12. And, of course, I told you about the tickets. Do we have any other announcements? Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship him. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, number 342. Come, Christians, join to sing. For those who are seeking meaning in life, who are searching for answers, who are finding an emptiness within, we will pray to you, Lord. For those who are battling addictions, who are powerless to control their own actions, or prisoners of their own whims, we pray to you, Lord. And for those who are lonely, who yearn for human companionship, who feel neglected, we pray to you, Lord. Let us all pray. If everyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has been passed away. See, everything has become new. Let us see this new creation. by giving our time and our talent to you, God, and by knowing that your love encompasses us forever, because you remind us when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we will have the lighting of the Lenten cross. The response is in your chimes. This is the fifth Sunday of Lent. The lighting of the Lenten cross will take place. It is Passion Sunday, the fifth Sunday in Lent, so called because in the gospel for that day, Christ begins his sufferings by being stoned out of the temple. The Passion of Christ included his sufferings from the evening of the Last Supper, through the experience in the Garden of Gethsemane in his trail, on the journey to the cross, and during the crucifixion. Lord Jesus, by your holy cross, guard us and keep us from all evil.
Bring us to the victory you have won for us.
The Holy Cross shines in splendor.
In the cross is our victory and our strength.
Let us pray that we may live simply and humbly and bury our old selves in loving service of one another. Lord, you gave your life for love of us. Teach us to love one another with that same love, that we all may share in your Easter joy. Amen. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Let us now express that new creation by giving our tithes and offerings. Our offertory hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, number 91, verses 1, 2, and 4. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Thank you. trusting who we are, for you have received us in your grace. Bend us through Christ and create us new by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. That's the Old Testament, page 672 in your pew Bible. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way into the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Our anthem this morning by the Sanctuary Choir is Lamb of God.
Jesus began his journey when he left him his home in search of us. Armed with nothing more than a passion to win our hearts, he came looking for us. His desire was singular, to bring God's children home. This led to the hill of Calvary. Heaven gave her finest gift, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world.
You have sent him from your side. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville as we gather this spring Sunday. That is one of my favorite anthems, and one of the things I look forward to every Easter is to hear that song. What a wonderful song. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning, choir, and thanks all who have come to worship our God today and who have been working in various capacities. We have been so busy with all the things happening in the church, it seems that we are all in three or four places at once. Let us take this time now to be in this moment and in this place and nowhere else. As we gather this morning, we give thanks for all that is happening in our life and in our community, in our church. Last week we had our first practice for the Last Supper, and it was sort of like a reunion for some and a baptism for others as we began to practice our parts and to remember what we are all to do. Some of it came back very easily, and some of it was like a little bit harder, but it was all a joy to be together. I look forward to practicing with the choir today and being with Jesus today for the first time. It's going very well. We actually had the Marilyn Forbes come to do an article for the Last Supper we should be seeing in the paper in the next couple of days, and it's very, very possible that by the time that that article is published, there will be no tickets left. We enjoy the response that we've been receiving and look forward to the performance. I also want to update you. We mentioned last week that the Good Friday service is at City Church. I did not have the time. I do now. The Good Friday service will be from noon until 1:30 at City Church on, not this Friday, but the next, March 22nd. We also haven't talked about the Lenten lunches. That's my fault. They have been going very well there at the Presbyterian Church. The last one is this Tuesday. From noon to 1, Father Lubick will be preaching or speaking, and Otterbein United Methodist Church will be providing the lunch. That's from noon to 1. As we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer, we give thanks for all that is happening. We also want to lift up our concerns. I had asked prayer for my mother for her knee surgery. I don't know if I let you know that it's been moved. If I didn't let you know that last week, it's been moved to after Easter, April 8th. So we could postpone our prayers then, until after Easter. What other joys and concerns do we have to share with one another today? What other prayers do we need to lift up this morning? Peggy? Well, it doesn't happen every day. What is your grandmother's name? Celebrate with Mary on her 97th birthday. Congratulations to her and to you. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Okay. She remembers that she loves them. Excellent. Ken? Pray for Jim battling his lung infection. Thank you. Sonny? Thank you for sharing that with us. And also, we have a church in Wilkinsburg. I know the minister there well. And she is helping to lead the community response to ministering to the families who were lost loved ones in that shooting. And know that they have a great need. So pray for the community in Wilkesburg, and also pray for the minister. Her name is Janet Helner Burris. She is often on the front lines in a difficult place. I'm going to pray for her. Thank you for lifting them up. Mike? That's good news. We give thanks for Bob as he recovers from his heart surgery. That went well. Pray for Bob Snyder. Thank you. Are there any others? Seeing none, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we come together as your church and your family. We come together praying for each other as members of this congregation, We know that we are all dealing with difficult problems of one sort or another. Some have been mentioned and some have not. But you know them all. And so we lift up our prayers to you for our needs. But we pray for one another as well. Help each person to know that you are with them, that you care for them, and that you have in mind what is best for them. Some this morning, Lord, are grieving. A recent loss, a very distant loss, but it is still with them. Some this morning are in ill health. Some of us are dealing with personal problems, work problems, family issues, problems at school. Some of us are struggling in our faith, or are at the very least unclear as to what you want for us. We pray for answers, we pray for solutions, but more than anything, we pray simply to know your presence, your love, your spirit. Give us comfort, Lord. Give us healing. Give us patience and wisdom. We pray to you as we await the coming of your Spirit. As it grows within our hearts, as it pours out from our lives and touches those who know us. We give thanks for the good news received. We lift up our concerns to you. For all that is happening in our life and in our church, we give you thanks. For birthdays young and old, we give you thanks. We lift Mary into your care and celebrate her long, long life. And pray that all may have a joyous day in celebrating the day of her birth. We give you thanks that Bob is doing well after his heart surgery. We pray for a full recovery. And we pray for those who are in need. For Jim, as he battles a lung infection, we pray for his healing and for the doctor's guidance and for their good care. And we grieve with the Wilkinsburg community and all communities who suffer from violence, lives torn asunder and ended too soon, and families left behind. Not only do we pray that you are with them in their grief, but that you help to give them a vision on how to move forward and to care for one another. We pray for the churches of that community. In particular, we want to lift up our sister, Janet Burris, as she ministers to her church there, but to the community at large. We pray that people will not seek vengeance, but healing. Not seek restitution, but love. Not follow hate, but forgiveness. And help us, Lord, to see the problems in our own community and to do what we can to alleviate them and to be a healing presence here in Connellsville. As we come to you, Lord, we know that we have much to do, and we know that we have fallen short. Not one of us is worthy, O Lord, as you have told us. Yet we come to worship and bow down because you have invited us to come. And because through you we will be made worthy. For we know you will cleanse us and energize us and send us on our way rejoicing. May we leave this time of worship renewed, revitalized, and changed, so that we may also be agents of renewal, revitalization, and change in this world. All this comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit that you have granted to be with us and to live with us and to inspire us and guide us. Help us always to remember this, now and forevermore, as we worship now and as we leave today and as we continue to go on in your name. This we pray. Amen. the children come forward for the junior sermon.
Okay, we have a special kind of holiday we're coming up on Thursday. You know what it is? What? Not Easter. St. Patrick's Day. Easter is coming up, though. So I want you to tell me, what do you think brings good luck? Tell me things that you have that brings good luck. Huh? Leprechauns are good luck. They're kind of hard to find, though. I've been looking. Can't find me a leprechaun. Bessie? Four-leaf clover. You can find those once in a while, can't you? That's good. What? Easter's good luck. Well, it is good luck. I don't know if everybody sees it as that way, but it is good luck. You know, they always say it's the luck of the Irish, all right? I know a secret. I bet you guys don't know this. It's about that rock. See that rock right there? Well, let me tell you where that came from. Years ago, in this church, we had a St. Patrick's Day party, all right? And George and I, rock down, and underneath that rock, I don't know if it's still written there, but it should be, it was written there, kiss the Blarney Stone. Yeah, that's what it says underneath that rock. That's why we brought it, and now we use it for Easter. But if you'd go to Ireland and go to kiss the Blarney Stone, you have to lay down, because there's the stone is here, and there's this great big, like, hole, and you lay down and you kiss the Blarney Stone for good luck. Now, how cool is that? That's pretty cool. And it's called the Luck of the Irish. Well, guess what? I'm not Irish. Are you guys, any of you guys Irish? You have a little bit of Irish in you? What, you have a little bit of Irish in you? You? Got a little bit of Irish? Yeah. Well, you're kind of leprechaun. You know what? I'm not Irish at all. The Luck of the Irish. So does that leave on Thursday? No, because I got something a little better than the luck of the Irish. I got the love of God. How about that? Because I don't need a whole lot of luck, because I got God. He's there for the good times. He's here for the bad times. He's there when I need him. He's there when I don't think I need him. So it doesn't matter on Thursday whether you're Irish or whether you're German or whether you're just all American. Because you have not just luck for the day. How cool is that? But guess what? You might need a little luck in a few minutes.
Because I was shopping yesterday,
and I found sour watermelon peeps. Okay, I don't know how they're going to taste, so you might need a little luck in a few minutes. So go to your class, and I'll be there.
Congratulations to my son for not noticing the rock that's been there for 4 weeks. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17, and then also 32 to 44. It's found on page 105 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Jesus has been told that his friend Lazarus is sick, and he hesitates to go. He waits, and when he gets back, we read that when he arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would not see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe you have sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There was once a story about a man who was loved and hated, who traveled across the world doing great things, which won him many followers and many more enemies, who had long hair and dressed shabbily and owned nothing. This man died a terrible death, leaving his friends in despair and feeling as if no hope remained. But one day, very unexpectedly, they encountered him again. They could not believe their eyes, in part because it was so hard to believe that he was back, but also because he looked so different. He was clean and new. His clothes, which had been gray before, were now shining so white that they were blinding. And he was clearly more powerful than before. This man's name was Gandalf, and his resurrection was told in the story The Lord of the Rings, one of my favorites. Then there was another story in which the main character was sacrificed because of the sin of another person. He was ridiculed, and he was tormented and disfigured, and the women who were with him when this happened, they looked on and they wept. Because they could not believe that this one for whom they had believed with such power could be treated in such a way and would let people treat him in such a way. But their tears were dried the next day when they saw him raised from the dead and his hair fully restored and his roar stronger than ever, because this person was not a person. His name was Aslan and he was a lion. And this story was told by C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, another of my favorites. Of course, there also was the story of a wise old teacher with tremendous spiritual powers who warned of the forces of evil and said that if he was struck down, he would come back more powerful than you could ever imagine. But Darth Vader killed Obi-Wan Kenobi all the same in Star Wars, one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, and they all seem to have this same theme, this theme of resurrection, which is so pervasive a theme in our stories, our movies, in our literature, our culture. It is all over the place, in novels and films and myths. It's constant presence in the stories that we tell one another. It always looks the same, or at least it looks very similar. Someone makes a sacrifice on behalf of someone else. And they come back looking better than before, stronger than before, newer than before. This is the standard picture of resurrection. And it comes from another story. Seriously, one of my favorites. The story upon which the entire Bible is built. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, even if you have never read the story before, I guarantee you you're familiar with it. Jesus was a wildly popular man, also a wildly vilified man. He did great things for his friends and riled up the anger of his opponents. He was killed in a terrible way, but his death saved many others, since the needs of the many outweighed the needs of the few or one. And when his friends had given up all hope, they discovered that he was back, resurrected and looking better than before. For not only did Jesus appear to his disciples and to the women dressed in white, but the angels who greeted Mary at the tomb were, as the Gospels describe them, like lightning, and their clothing light white as snow. So now the one who had been accompanied by men and women is accompanied by angels, and he is dazzling to see. And he appears to his disciples by walking through walls where they were staying. Clearly, Jesus had been resurrected better than before. And because of this, we have the expectation that resurrection isn't just restoring to life, but restoring to a better life. And this is part of the joy of the promise. Who wants to be resurrected to the way we are now, with our bodies aching and failing us? Who wants to be resurrected to the way that I am now, 5'10"? I want to be resurrected to 6'10". Who wants to be resurrected to bodies at all? But what does that mean for us who call ourselves an Easter people? For if we are people who believe in resurrection, when are we going to be new and shiny and better than before? Certainly we believe this will happen after we die and we are resurrected into eternal life, but is there no resurrection for us in this life? Are we merely getting together each week to celebrate the promise of something that will come after we die? Will resurrection not happen for us this side of heaven in the way that it is described in the Bible? For Jesus' disciples, they did not have to wait until they passed over. For when Jesus came back and he gave them the Holy Spirit, they were born into a new life that was better than before. Every year, springtime comes. And the best thing about it is that the world is resurrected and it looks better than it did. It looks better in May than it does in April. It looks better in April than it does in March. It looks better in March than it does in February. But will the world this April look any better than it did last April? Will the world this spring look any better than it did last spring? There is a resurrection to be seen, to be witnessed, to be enjoyed. Because it goes back to how it was, but is progress really made? Well, I think that's a relevant question for us because in this life, resurrection happens all the time. But often we are looking for the wrong thing. We don't see it because we don't recognize it for what it is. To be blunt, we are looking for the type of resurrection we see in the Bible, but only one version of it. For you see, the Bible gives us two very distinct images, very distinct pictures of resurrection. The first and most famous, and the one that authors everywhere and filmmakers everywhere use to inspire them, is that of Jesus Christ. And we don't really have a description of him before he died, but we have to assume that his clothes were ordinary, probably dirty, and his hair was long and maybe a little bit unkempt, or at least ordinary. And that contrasts with how he looked after he died and after he came back. He looked more glorious than any who walked the earth. And eventually he ascended into heaven on a cloud. What a beautiful and wonderful scene. And that is resurrection as we think of it and celebrate it each Easter. However, we have read today the other story of resurrection, and it looked a little bit different. It is the resurrection of Jesus' friend, Lazarus, who comes out of the tombs still in his bandages and wrappings and dirty with the smell of death. It is important to know and to notice that he was in the ground or he was in the tomb 4 days. And Jesus was not. According to the purity laws, according to the ritual laws of Jewish custom, you could not touch a corpse, and if you did, you would become unclean. However, that does not happen until the 4th day. On the 4th day, the corpse is considered unclean because it was believed that the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days and then went. And so you wonder why Jesus waited. And of course, Lazarus' sisters wondered this. Part of it was to make sure that he was dead, so that when he performs this miracle, people will understand that he raised someone from the dead and was not only sleeping, as was suggested. But of course, not everybody understands this. In fact, it's safe to say that no one understood this besides Jesus. For Martha, the sister of Lazarus, the sister of the dead man, the friend of Jesus, says to him when he gets there, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." In other words, his body is decomposing. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me." So Jesus knows what's going on. But he's doing this for the benefit of others. "I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, that they may believe you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, and his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Now, there's always these questions as to what happens, because we don't hear from Lazarus again. We don't know. And is it a problem that this man who has been dead 4 days is now walking amongst them? Because he is, technically speaking, unclean. It's almost as if they have a zombie living amongst them. But what we do know is that there's this very clear distinction between Jesus when he was resurrected, who was clean and new, and this one, Lazarus, who was dirty and unclean, both literally and figuratively, or literally and ritually unclean. And yet they both clearly describe what resurrection looks like. It's not always the same. And I think it's safe to say that the Lazarus resurrection is much more common in this world. But they are nonetheless both great, wonderful things. For as Christians, we are called to live into the resurrection, to live into the promise of resurrection, to celebrate the resurrection, not just on Easter, and really not just on Sunday, but all the time. But we often assume this means that we will be like Jesus. Things being new and beautiful and even better than they were before. But more often, the resurrection that God gives us looks like Lazarus. We who have been ill for a long time long for the resurrection of our health, in the day in which we can take up our mat and walk and dance in a way that we never did before. Sometimes that happens. But more often than not, what we receive is another day of aches and pains. We who are poor look for a Lord who rewards faith with riches and blessings, that we may hit the lottery and we may do all the things that we said we would do. Sometimes that happens. More often than not, what happens is that we get enough to pay our bills, we get enough to put food upon the table, to eat for another day. We who are powerless, or feel powerless, long for a moment when we will win every battle and be declared a champion, and the right will be set, and the wrong will be cast aside. Sometimes that happens. But more often than not, what we get is the ability to fight another day. We whose church struggles to rebuild itself wait for that day when every pew on every Sunday will be as full as it is on the Sunday when we celebrate resurrection, or in this case, the Last Supper. And sometimes that happens. Usually we get 40 or 50 or 60 people. We don't get the blessings the way we want them. But make no mistake, they are blessings all the same. For maybe today was another day, and is another day, with aches and pains. But it is another day. And not only are there those who are worse off, there are ways in which you may have been worse off, but you are still here. We may not be wealthy, but God has given us what we need. We may not always win, but as long as we keep up the fight for what is right, we will never lose. And if Christ is present when two or three are gathered in his name, then Christ is abundantly present every week here when we gather to worship him. Indeed, resurrection is everywhere we care to look. It's just that it does not always look the way we expect it. Shiny and new and better than before. Sometimes resurrection simply means not being dead. And that was the case with Lazarus. Not dead. He was dirty. He looked bad. He smelled bad. And I guarantee you, all the things about him that were wrong, that were imperfect, were still there. We don't know this for sure. I'm going to speculate, but Lazarus and his sisters, I bet they did not always agree. I bet they did not always get along. I bet that he had these habits that drove them crazy sometimes. And I guarantee you that when Jesus brought him back to life, these habits were still there. So was he. I know that if I were to lose my brother and he were to come back, I would not care about the things that had bothered me before. I would not let that separate me from him. I would be glad that he was there. And in fact, he lives far away. I don't see him all that often. And when he comes back and we see each other, we focus on the things that unite us. My sister-in-law, my wife, it's that way. They would have to be together for about a week before they would start to fight the way they used to. Now they only see each other for a week at a time every now and then, and all they do is laugh. Lazarus' resurrection was a different kind of resurrection than the one that Jesus would later experience and the one in which we are promised to experience eternally in the hereafter. His was not a resurrection to glory, but a resurrection back into this life. And we all wait that glorious day when the shadows of this life have gone and we will fly away, but believing in Christ means that a resurrection is available for us in this life as well, where we will mount up with wings like eagles and walk and not grow weary and run and not faint, as the prophet Isaiah has spoken. For so much in our life does make us weary. We grow weary of sickness and pain. We grow weary of bills. We grow weary of watching buildings in our city crumble or people let us down. We grow weary of hearing our leaders squabble and bicker. We grow weary of wars and rumors of wars. And we make us want to fly away. But there is value, so much value in this life. There is purpose in God placing us here, and we must make the most of every day. And God promises to restore us to life, to do the work that God needs us to do. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was dirty. But it was the dirt that made his new life grow. Because you can bet that he and Mary and Martha, who argued before he died, you can bet that now they didn't do so much when he came back. Lazarus' resurrection was not just his, but a resurrection back into the fullness of his life and his family and his community. It was a resurrection that many people shared. He wasn't anything better than before. He just wasn't dead, and that was gift enough. Remember the service last week? Remember the scripture last week? The prodigal son. That is the kind of thing that Jesus offers when he talks about the forgiveness that God offers and that we should celebrate. This son of mine was dead and now has returned. We are all challenged to live in resurrection in this way, to see the good things that are happening in our life, to celebrate them, to not wait until something is gone before we give thanks and appreciate it. Can we wake up each morning and give thanks that we are not dead? Can we celebrate when it is rainy and cold because we still have breath to breathe and life to live? Can we rejoice even though our church is not as big and shiny and wealthy as we would like it to be, but it is still alive and doing God's work after more than 180 years? If so, then we will be resurrected in this life, in this moment, to a new life, because we will have learned to not take for granted the things that God has given us today. Just because we do not have the resurrection of Christ does not mean that we should not stop to celebrate the resurrection of Lazarus that we have been experiencing. Certainly, if Lazarus' resurrection was the end of things, it would be nice but not a great thing, for we know, we're confident that eventually he did die, as did Martha and Mary, and all the people that Jesus has healed. It is wonderful to have this promise of eternal resurrection into a new and better life that we celebrate at any and every funeral. But it is so good to know that the resurrection that Christ has can be experienced for each of us in each moment and each day. When we wake up and we see that today is the day that the Lord has made, and we do commit to rejoice and be glad in it, and to celebrate all that is in our life, let us commit ourselves to living in the resurrection, not just for the future, but for the present, and not just for Easter, but for each day as well. Amen. And now the community comes together at the Lord's table. For all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the cup of forgiveness and the bread of life. Please take the emblems as they are passed, as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is in the brown hymnal, number 254, Near the Cross, verses 1, 2, and 4.
It is so exciting to be presenting the Last Supper again. It is almost like like Lazarus' resurrection in a way. I don't know that it'll be better now than it was 10 years ago, but I know, especially based on the demand, that it'll be appreciated more because we have not done it in a while. It is true that absence does make the heart grow fonder, and we do appreciate things when they're not as common. It makes me think of the reason why many churches do not have communion every week. Many churches have it about once a month or so, with the idea that if they do so, it'll be more special because it's not every week. And there's no doubt that when churches do that, their attendance goes up on a communion Sunday. I understand the logic behind that, but the fact of the matter is, the meal and what it represents is always special. It may seem more special to us if we don't have it as often, and that is probably true of anything. I bet if we only had church once a month, attendance would be better. I bet if God made a decree saying that you were only able to pray 1 hour a day, people would pray more during that 1 hour a day. But I'm glad that that is not the case. Because the fact of the matter is that I like very much knowing God is with me at all times and all places, and available to me in my need at all times. And sometimes when I pray, I must begin by confessing that it is I who has taken him for granted, because he is there all the time. But that's my issue and not his. We definitely have a tendency, if we experience something all the time, to take it for granted. But this should not be one of those things. For it is the constancy of God's love. It is the steadfastness of God's mercy. It is the continuity of God's presence that is remembered each week when we gather together at this table. Each time we share in this meal, we also are resurrected into the body of Christ. Individually members, together one. Let us rejoice and give thanks for this opportunity and not take it for granted today or any day. And now this morning, let us pray.
O God of love and grace, as we come together around this communion table, we remember the words of Jesus when he said to his disciples in the upper room, "Do this in remembrance of me." As we partake of this cup, may our eyes be opened to see thee more clearly and our hearts quickened to serve thee more faithfully. Grant us a willingness to follow thee even though the way leads to Calvary. We pray in Jesus' name, of Jesus who died on the cross. Amen.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out. He said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread, drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Now the community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is in the brown hymnal, number 246. Man of Sorrows, What a Name, verses 1 and 5, and let us stand as we sing. For the benediction, I'd just like to remind you of the coffee hour that awaits us in the fellowship hall, and I hope that you will linger a while to enjoy the food and fellowship together. Let us now bow our heads for the benediction. Go forth in gratitude for what the Lord has done, for what the Lord is doing, and for what the Lord is yet to do in the days ahead.